Good morning. Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Victoria, where we seek to live fully into our ancestors' words that we need not think alike to love alike. No matter the identities you hold, the color of your skin, who and how you love, be welcome this day and all days within this community.
Today, we are gathered as an intergenerational community. Children and youth are welcome to stay in the sanctuary for the whole service. So you, looks like most of you already have some soul work that you're working on. And there are, I think, a few more things available if you need it to switch out. If anyone feels really restless, there are childminders in the back room. We also want to acknowledge that we are gathered here on the traditional territory of the Wasanuk Nation, and that, well, the late Vi Williams remembers going down to the flats right across the street to collect roots and berries with her mom. And she remembers how the coho and many other fish swam in the creek there, so important to the food as a food source. And she remembers also harvesting of the trees not far from here and in this area for homes and dugout canoes. So it's a piece of land that's been occupied for a long time. And we're fortunate that they are generous in sharing it with us.
Come into this space. Bring your fears, your joys. Know that here in this community will help you hold them both. Come into this home. Bring your hopes, your dreams. We yearn to see them all fulfilled. Each promise for a better world. Come into this dawn. Bring your old self and your new. The fire in the sky gives more time as we shed skins or unfurl wings. Come now, gather to this hearth. The flame below matches sun above. What was solid will start to flow. What was wounded may start to mend.
Candy Chang is an artist who encourages publicly asking people what they want to do before they die. She says, two of the most valuable things we have are time and our relationships with other people. In our age of increasing distractions, it's more important than ever to find ways to maintain perspective and remember that life is brief and tender. Death is something we're often discouraged to talk about or even think about, but preparing for death is one of the most empowering things you can do. Thinking about death clarifies your life and can help you lead a better life.
So we've asked you, what do you want to do before you die?
I want to learn code. 10111010100110000.
Learn a new language.
Go to Paris.
Listen, laugh, laugh, be with love.
Change someone for the better. Perhaps myself.
Make sure that everyone I love knows that I love them before they are gone.
Finish my story.
Learn my died-out language, hymnos.
Visit Easter Island or Rapa Nui.
Feel at peace wherever I am.
Help others and make a positive difference in the world.
Be with my family as a heart.
Finish my memoir of the time we went back to the land and built a log house.
Build a tiny cob house on land that includes clear-cut and protected forest.
I want to see the world.
Laugh a lot, love a lot, learn a lot, listen more, pause more.
See the human race live out of compassion and charity instead of self-interest and meanness.
Raise my youngest son to manhood and independence.
What do you want to do before you die?
Be an Olympic gymnast. Go to Romania again. Travel to Asia. Live. Save a life. Have quality time with people who are family to me.
Listen to Daft Punk and Deadmau5. voice of Vocaloid. Live in Burnaby. Be nice to everyone, says a 5-year-old. See world peace in my day. Watch my kids grow up, hopefully grandkids too.
Act in a play. Embed art into education. Be published. Imagine. Continue to find laughter in life. See the end of useless wars. Hold my great-grandbabies.
Become a Minecraft professional. Make a coffee Minecraft mod. Get 1 million subscribers. Go on a world cruise. Live well. I want to be a superhero. A superhero who saves lives. Be mutually head over heels in love.
What do you want to do before you die?
Use half of my fabric stash and quilts. And complete my knitting projects that are in process. Clean out my basement. Offer love, compassion, and understanding to all my neighbors, human and animal. Spend a night in a ceremonial longhouse. Have him hold me one last time.
Help animals all over the world. Own a vet clinic. Be a trial to my children. Move someone. Become the self I see myself as. Kiss him one last time.
Kiss a fool. Pay my back taxes. Take my son to Mexico to dance and explore his roots. Uncover the enlightened state of consciousness. See an NDP government in BC with 5 green MLAs. Close. Listen to John Denver sing, I Live.
What do you want to do before you die?
I want to nourish a garden all summer long. I want to keep bees, be self-sufficient, live in the moment. I want to give the planet one small nudge in a positive direction. I want to let my dad know how much he means to me.
I want to paint a painting that I like enough to hang on my wall. I want to write a poem that makes people laugh and cry. I want to travel around the world. I want to travel around the world, all around the world. Remain true to myself. Say yes to more. Say yes to more.
Asking what it is that we want to do with our one precious life can help us live the richest and most satisfying life. Your responses are a reminder of the many possibilities there are. We have a song that beautifully sums up the sentiments that have been expressed. We invite you to rise as you are willing and able and join in singing, When the Spirit Says Do. The words will appear on the screen.
So on August 1st, 1999, my family and I packed our bags and our car and we moved up to Haida Gwaii. Our kids were 2, 5, and 8, so the ages of some of you here. And my husband was embarking on a major research project. So we were scheduled to return August 1st, 2000. And sometimes we'd say, oh, we're going for a whole year. Other times we'd say, only 1 year? And we really did have a wonderful time when we were there. In a way, I think the thing that was the very most wonderful was that we knew we'd be there 1 year. So we were constantly asking ourselves, what do we do? What are we going to do while we're here for this one precious year? It's a little bit like asking, what do I want to do before I die? And it's a really wonderful way to live. It keeps you paying attention. And the things Christian and I wanted to do were the things you can do on Haida Gwaii, visit as many beaches and dunes and forests and meadows and rivers and lakes as possible. We also wanted to get to know as many people as possible and what it was like to live a whole life on a remote island. I was part of the Craft and Yak group, and that was a wonderful way to get to know people. My kids, well, they had similar wishes, but I got to say, they also were wishing, maybe you guys can relate to this, for that we would have pizza and pasta as often as possible. They were wishing to play with their friends as often as possible. And they were also wishing that when we went to the beach, that we would carry them. They also wished now and again that they could go home to Victoria, or that Nanny and Grandpa would come and visit, which kind of brings me to transitions. We had a lot of transitions that year from moving away from our home here to making a new home there, and then leaving that home and coming back. And it had lots of challenges. Some of the things that we did to help ourselves were, first, we talked about it a whole lot. We talked about the changes that were going to unfold. We tried to listen to one another's emotions, how we felt about it. We also played games on the long car ride to the northern tip of Vancouver Island, and then an even longer ferry ride to Prince Rupert, a night there, and then another six-hour ferry ride to Haida Gwaii. It was still called the Charlottes then. So we played games. What's going to be the same? What's going to be different? Going to be the same? What's going to be different? And before we left and when we arrived, we also did kind of ritual farewells. Goodbye, house. Goodbye, bed. Goodbye, Zeus and Athena, our two cats. Goodbye, chickens. Goodbye, garden. And goodbye, Nanny and Grandpa and all our friends. And when we got there, we said, "Hello, house. We didn't know you were going to be made of logs. Hello, forest. We didn't know that our house would be surrounded by forests that lead right down to the beach." We said, "Hello, beach. Hello, eagles." There were so many eagles on that beach, though they always looked like men in tuxedo suits to me. Those little rituals seem to help us. It's acknowledging the change, which of course brings me to what we're doing today. We're wanting to acknowledge the transition and changes that everyone is going through all the time, because that is the nature of life. And so we wanted to begin by honoring the children and also getting the leaders of the children to stand up. So I have a little bit of direction to offer. First, perhaps Pharaoh could take, and I'm not sure whether Penny is joining him, could take a place on stage. And then I would like leaders of the different children's and youth groups to gather in the aisle. So first, the leaders of youngest children, the forest explorers, forest guardians and spirit explorers, then the questers, then owl leaders, and then youth leaders. So before we really get going, though, I want to just share a little bit of history, because some of the kids, who was it, Jen, said, "I remember when I put the pink paint on that red banner." It was 4 years ago in preparation for one of our midwinter pageants that we made these banners, and they are symbolic of our seven principles. Often we've told you which ones go with which principle in the order of service, but we didn't do that this year. But that's something you can contemplate, you know, which one is it that asks us to go deep, and which one is it that asks us to support one another in our spiritual growth, to be kind to everyone, that each person has the right to a voice and to speak, that we work for world peace, that we are part of an independent web of all being, and that one there is that each and every person is important. So I wanted to just say a little bit, as the children are already finding their leaders, but this year the forest guardians and spirit explorers used our monthly themes as a springboard for learning about Unitarian Universalism. They had opportunities to express their creative selves and connect with the interdependent web of all being and work as a group. And I'd especially like to acknowledge Winston, who, with his family, moved from Arizona. That was a really big transition. Juan Diego and Daniel aren't here, but they moved from Courtney, another big transition. The Questers considered the big questions in life. They unpacked both Unitarian Universalist and their own responses to questions like, what am I going to do before I die? They're the ones who started this project. They were also willing participants when we piloted the new Truth, Healing, and Reconciliation Reflection Guide. The junior youth, we just called them the OWL group this year because they spent the whole year with leaders going through the grade 8-9 version of the award-winning Our Whole Lives Sexuality Education Program. They talked lots about bodies and relationships. They role-played and practiced decision-making in some challenging social situations. All of this is with the hope that will help them navigate adulthood. You're having to wait, sorry. Youth group members have participated and led, and those, Charlie, do you want to join with the Questers too? And Jenny, anyone, and Maria and Morgan, you were part of youth group, so you could join your leaders. Just wanted to say that youth group have participated and led a wide variety of activities from games to fundraisers to social action initiatives to something they call soul rounds, where they explore deep questions. They seem to especially like cooking this year, in case you didn't notice. I want to mention Emma Lentz in particular. She is our only bridging youth who's grown into adulthood this year. We are very sorry she couldn't come today, but she is at her job on Salt Spring Island leading a children's program at the UU Church there. Okay, so we're ready to roll, Natty. I invite all of you children to turn around for a minute and just say goodbye last year. Leaders can do that too. And turn back around and say hello, this new things that are coming towards me. Pharaoh and Penny are going to sing a beautiful song, a good reminder to us all as you, I'm going to move these things so you can safely navigate walking across the stage and then finding your seats again.
These days, seems like 50 years of anything is no small feat. With our attention and thus our energy drawn in so many directions, maintaining connections and engagement for the covenanted community for so long can sometimes seem like a quaint notion. And yet, it is still done. For those who need context to understand when 50 years ago was, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band debuted on the Canadian pop charts. I was talking to someone about our 50-year members last week, someone who's been here in this congregation a long while, who's done a lot of work. They agreed it was impressive and hoped to achieve the same milestone themselves. They identified only one potential challenge. They'd have to live to be 113 years old. Today we honor two 50-year members of this congregation, Nanu Teriad and Sherry Trump. I invite you to join me on stage now with Betty. For those who haven't seen it before, this is our membership book. You have to go back to pages 9 and 10 to find Nanu and Sherry. For reference, the members who joined us last week are on pages 66 and 67. In faint, fine script, their names appear with addresses on Admiral's Road and Fowl Bay. It is a blessing that they are here with us in this community, remembering 50 more pages of people who came seeking this spiritual community, their deepest longing made real in this place of transformation. You may note that there's a typo in your order of service that I failed to correct during the week that suggests that Sherry has only been here for 25 years. Sherry, I'm very pleased to inform you that, in fact, it doesn't just feel like 50 years. It has, in fact, been that long. Sherry joined this congregation with her husband, Menno, in June of 1967. They'd been introduced to Unitarianism at the Winnipeg congregation, so we're glad to find the Unitarian presence on Superior Street when they arrived here in Victoria. They quickly made it their home, helping to welcome this congregation's first full-time settled minister, the Reverend Marvin Evans. They raised three sons in the congregation and shared fond memories of the wild 60s dance parties and encounter groups. She and Menno were both instrumental in the maintenance and design of the old building and were inspired by the new vision to take on leadership in building this one too. Active in religious education of children and youth and so many other aspects of church life, Sherry has been anchor of this community now for 50 years. Sherry, we present to you this pin and this rose in appreciation for all that you have done here to mark your time with us. It is love. Like Sherry, Menno came to Victoria already a Unitarian when she joined the congregation in February of 1967. She was surprised to find old friends already here when she arrived, Alf and Gladys Porcher, whom she knew from the Unitarian Church of Edmonton. Our Unitarian networks, which often seem so small, were perhaps even smaller then. After several years of having Ruth Rawlings arrange rides to church for herself and her two daughters, Menno saw the service as so essential that she took over the task for the next 7 years after Ruth passed away. Turns out, if you really like something and it looks like it might end, you might have to do it yourself. Then you have to paint and remodel the old church, work in the library, and serve on the board. She sang in choirs all her life and was delighted to join the first choir this congregation put together. Challenges in her hearing meant she had to leave that music behind, but the community and friends she found there, she remains connected to still. Thank you. Grateful to you both being here, for having laid the foundation, for having built up the walls, for warming the hearth and filling the air with song, for carrying on and carrying through, for carrying all of the history and vision of this place so many of us continue to find and learn to call our home. For all of these things, we are grateful.
Congregation for being so good to my family and myself for all these years. And I still want to thank all those who give up their busy lives, time from their busy lives, to meet me one-on-one for lunches and coffee so that I can still keep in contact now I'm so deaf.
Bit more to say. I'm also speaking here for Menno, my husband of 61 years. Here at this church, we found the Unitarian values reinforcing our humanistic beliefs. But that we had when we came, emigrated to Canada. Now I find I'm leaning more towards the universalist point of view. that there's a power beyond myself, a good power I can trust. Menno called it the Absolute. Of course, I reject the God of the Old Testament who punished Adam and Eve for eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge, and we have always encouraged our children to question, use their mind, to question religious opinion, opinions that they encountered, and to find out for themselves what feels right and what is important. Not because someone else tells them so. And to exercise self-determination. As for me, I try to live by the principles of a great Unitarian historical figure, Ralph Waldo Emerson, which actually fits in very well with the theme of today, what I want to do before I die. And this is how it goes. To laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics, and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty, to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know that even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded. So, Waldo Emerson, my hero.
The work of a religious community is to inspire each of us to be transformed. And so the work of this community is to hold each one of us in our transitions, whether joyous or sorrowful, or sometimes confusingly, both. This morning we offer a ritual that invites us all to join with the children and youth and families who mark the end of the church year by the transitions they make. From class to class, from grade to grade, from a youth group to an as-yet-unknown beyond. Transitions don't stop simply because we grow older, though sometimes we have to be more attentive to our lives to feel them, notice them. Or else we find ourselves somewhere new and wondering, how the heck did I get here? Has this ever happened to you? Yeah. That in the business of all the change that's going on, you've somehow woken in a seemingly new world, uncertain of how you got there and where you now stand. Transitions can take many forms, and this morning we will honor four of them by moving through the arch. We will honor love's loss for those who this year have lost someone or something close to them. We will pass beneath the arch to honor new relationships, whether that's new children, siblings, grandchildren, loves, or a pet. We will cross the threshold to mark endings and beginnings in work and call. And last, we will invite those who are embarking on a new quest to pass through, those who have found a new passion and are setting themselves upon an uncertain path. We'll begin first with loss. Love can be lost in too many ways to count. Friendships ruptured in misunderstandings. Pets whose long lives are still too brief. Partners of days or decades, dying, selves we must leave behind. Khalil Gibran writes, "Ever has it been that love knows not its own depth until the hour of separation. Ever has it been known that love knows not its own depth until the hour of separation. It seems sometimes that we cannot measure our love until we have felt it missing. And that this missing feels sometimes like it exceeds the love itself. If this year for you has been marked by a loss, we invite you to come forward and mark that loss by passing through the arch formed by this community and its seven principles, this symbol of the past you come from, the present you now inhabit." May those losses, may that sorrow be held tenderly. Does the world seem different to you now? With this something that seems brand new? If this year has brought new love into your life, this is a time to mark that transition. Whether a child, a partner, a friend of the furry or human persuasion, summon them here. Cast them into your mind's eye and bring them with you through the arch that marks the time before and their spark that kindles your own new bright light. It is something to know those joys. Now, third, a change of work or call, new jobs or ending jobs, new classes or completed courses, new careers or retirement, all of them are moments of transition. All of them can be central to how we see ourselves, how we know our value. And our work is not just our employment or education, for our calls serve to exist beyond institutions sometimes. We invite anyone forward now to mark a transition of work, of school, of call from this year past. Whether it is the end of 9 years leading a committee to which you were appointed interim chair, losing a job or finding a new one after a hard search, or moving from one grade to the next, we invite you to process now through the arch. The three transitions we have marked so far have a past, and they have a present, but they have all happened already. This last passing through the arch is offered to those who know who they must become, or what they must do before they die, and find that they simply cannot wait one more minute. As Samwise Gamgee said to Frodo in Lord of the Rings, "It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out of your door. You step into the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to." If you are going out your door, your quest begun, even if only in your heart, come forward. Honor that courage, that step you take. Some of us have had big years. We need to walk through the arch many, many times. It is hard sometimes to remember to mark the transitions in our lives. It's hard sometimes to pause, take a deep breath, to notice who we are, who we were when we began, and to imagine where we're going. Where does your heart call you to? What will you do before you die? Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy, made a living having all the answers to questions not yet posed. He said, "My life has been a quest for knowledge and understanding, and I'm nowhere near having achieved that. And it doesn't bother me in the least. I will die without having come up with the answers to many things in my life, and yet my quest carries on." What is your deepest longing?
Can I have more than one?
What transition are you going through?
Can I be going through more than one?
What will you do before you die?
I will do so many things. I hope I will mend broken hearts. I know I will dance in the waves. I will try to sing songs that heal and write words that inspire. I will do my best to hold myself tenderly and others too, and to forgive and be forgiven. I will seek this world, beloved.
This is your one precious life. What answers do you still seek? What song must you still sing? What love must you still share?
Go now into this world. Go now knowing that in your story there are moments of desperation fought and moments of inspiration won. Go now, beautiful one, child of this earth and of the sun.
Our service is ended. Let our service begin.